Today's Old Testament reading is found in Revelation chapter 7. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's New Testament reading is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The congregation will read the parts of Jesus alternating left and right. "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wonderful job with the children's lesson. I also don't know what heaven will be like, but I'm sure it'll be great. I don't know if there'll be television, but you're right, we'll be happy one way or the other. I love that in the reading that we did together, in the Sermon on the Mount, which our left side got to start off with saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." As you look through each of those blesseds, each of those wonderful things we get to read about, you'll notice that the first one said is the kingdom of heaven. And then we go to, well, they shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive mercy. They shall see God. They shall be called sons of God. We get to the end. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's an interesting thing that Jesus said there and how he said it. We know that Jesus doesn't just make mistakes and change, you know, tenses the way that I might accidentally in a sermon sometime. I'm sorry for those who pay closer attention to grammar. I'll try my best. When Jesus says this, he's teaching us a lot of things, really. And I love that we even started off our worship service today with our confession and then hearing absolution that we're forgiven for our confession. We confessed that we are not fully able to follow these things. When Jesus says, "Blessed are you in these things," when you do these things, we can't do them perfectly. We fail at every one of them, in fact. Jesus teaches that we should have mercy. There should be meekness in our heart, patience, purity, peacemaking. And yet, we confess that we have anger, jealousy. We seek revenge. We hold resentment. And we have great pride. Well, that's unfortunate. Jesus just said we'd be blessed if we did these things. And yet we know that we can't and that we don't. Sure, sometimes we do, and man, life is better when we are doing the right things the way that God says we should do them. But we know that we don't follow them perfectly. And so this can come off like some very heavy law. Blessed are you when you do these things. So am I not blessed when I don't? That sounds unfortunate. Now, it is true that jealousy, revenge, resentment, pride, anger, these don't bring blessings into the world. And yet, thankfully, the blessing, the greatest blessing that we can receive, is given to us by the one who did all of these things perfectly for us. You see, when Jesus is talking about these beatitudes, he's not just talking about you. Blessed are you when you do these things, and when you don't, well, no more blessings, they're gone. That's not what you should take away from this. Yes, there is great blessing in following God's word and sharing his love and doing these things. But the greatest blessing is knowing this, that Christ has done all of these for you. Jesus Christ, the Blessed One, is the one who provides all of these rich blessings. He being poor in spirit, not coming to make a prideful name for himself, not seeking to be like the Father, but coming in humility. He who mourned, who wept at the death of his own friend and at the pain and suffering of this world. He who was meek, coming in on a donkey, not on a war horse, not demanding that he, being God, be treated as such. Blessed is he who did hunger and thirst for righteousness, whose desire was to fulfill the Father's will, even knowing that would mean suffering and death on his part. Blessed is the one who's merciful, who would choose to die on the cross for you and for me, knowing that we couldn't do these things that he tells us there's blessings in. Blessed is Christ, who is pure in heart, the only man or woman to have been fully pure in heart, whose will was the will of the fathers, who did not have sin and deceit in his heart pulling him away. Blessed is the peacemaker, the one who would make peace not just between people, in fact, he said he came to bring the sword, but the one who would make peace specifically between us and God and provide peace that is beyond all understanding for us here in this life. And yes, even amongst each other. Even if we might have different ideas of where we might put a check mark on Tuesday. Still peace, knowing that God is greater than all things. Blessed is the one who was persecuted for righteousness' sake, to bring us the kingdom of heaven. This list is Jesus and the things he's done for us. And blessed are you because he's done them for you. The things that we would receive, these blessings that we would receive, we get to receive them. That's why when we have confession, which we do in our worship services nearly every time, 99% of the time, depending on a special service perhaps, we have confession and we have absolution. Hearing that your sins are forgiven, your sin is fully removed from you, leaving only the righteousness from Christ, which brings these blessings. Now, looking back at our other readings, and I'll forgive you, Scott, for saying our Old Testament lesson, because Revelation sure has a lot of Old Testament views in there. Don't worry, I did it too. So I'm forgiving myself for that, don't worry. Certainly in Revelation, a lot of it points us back to the Old Testament. It's ironic because it's the one that looks farthest ahead and tells us about what life will be like when Christ returns. We get this great image of all tribes, all peoples, and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb. This beautiful image of what heaven will be like. All people who had faith in Jesus Christ gathered together from all over. Our brothers and sisters from all parts of the world, from all times before us and after us. On this All Saints Day, what a wonderful day to remember that we will get to join those who've gone before us, those who are enjoying a heavenly worship service, those who are with Christ right now. We'll get to join them in this wonderful vision, surrounding the throne, worshiping the Lamb, the one sacrificed in our stead to give us life everlasting. We remember those who've died, and we do mourn, but not as those who have no hope. Yes, we're sad that our loved ones are no longer with us. Of the list of names that I'll get to read later, I've been able to do one of the funerals, having recently done Walt's funeral and being told many times that he would welcome everyone into church saying, "I love you," the big boisterous voice. God forgive me, I made a joke in the sermon a little bit because the way the story goes, the "I love you" gets louder and louder, like maybe the windows might rattle right out of the walls. But that great joy that those who knew him had, to know that he was able to share God's love with others in this life. And now he's able to see God face to face. And we're left with the great memories of those saints who've gone before us, that we might be able to say to our brothers and sisters, "I love you," and keep the windows in the walls. We get to remember the great and wonderful things that the saints before us have taught through how they followed Christ. And we get to continue in that same vein. You, saint and sinner, get to be those ones who someone will look back to years from now saying, "Man, they shared the love of Christ in this way." you had to share the blessings that you've received. We love, of course, because Christ first loved us. We can live in these ways because Christ is in us. In fact, shameless plug here again for Bible study. Today we were just going through Philippians chapter 3. And at the end of Philippians chapter 3, I'll pull it out so I don't misquote. Paul, who had been talking about how our salvation is not in our own confidence in our earthly flesh, points the reader to Jesus Christ and says, confidence is in him alone, in the salvation that comes from Christ alone. And you who are saved now, you who already have the prize now, the promise of eternal life, you get to enjoy that prize here in this life, knowing that you are blessed and loved and called a child of God. And yet, you continue to have to run the race. You have to follow your Savior Christ, not to attain or win salvation for yourself, but as someone whose salvation has been won for him. I love this picture up here behind me. In our bulletins, it says that it's Christ who paved the way to heaven. We are on our way there. We're on our way heavenward. That's where each and every day, each and every step along this journey takes us. Those who are blessed to be following Christ. Now, again, don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole. You don't have to do these things to save yourself. You are saved in Christ. He has paved the way, and we do continue to run the race that we might attain that prize. We stay faithful to the one who is faithful to us. We share the blessings he's given us, and we know that at the end of our race, at the end of that uphill climb, there is heaven and Christ waiting for us, along with all the saints who are there. Our paths have different lengths, and they'll end at different times. But this is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. As we consider running that race towards heaven, following Christ up the mountain here in this picture, Paul directs our thoughts to think of Jesus up on top of a different mountain when he was transfigured in front of his three closest apostles there. They see him, Peter, James, and John see Jesus shining with this radiance that comes out from him, showing the glory that he has being God. And Peter, not knowing what to do, says, well, this is a pretty great place. Would you like us to set up some tents? We'll just stay here. They got to see in that moment the glory of Christ radiating out from him. For us, right now in this life, as we run the race towards that prize, our bodies don't feel very glorious or perhaps radiant yet. I know I now already am someone who looks at three steps and thinks, should I jump down those or walk down them safely? That changed a few years ago. As we continue on this race, we're reminded daily that our bodies are not transfigured in glory. And yet there is a great promise that we have. As we do continue in this path, following our Savior Jesus, we look forward to the day when we would be with him in heaven. And when we die, we will be there with him. And we look forward to the day when he would return, when Jesus Christ would appear, and the resurrection of the dead would happen, and we would be joined bodily in heaven, fully, body and soul. Sorry, you won't get wings in heaven. I can't promise there won't be television, but for the time being, in death, those who have gone before us, those saints who are already with God, they are there with him. And at the resurrection of the dead, our bodies will all be joined together up in heaven. I already made this joke, so I apologize. It won't be quite as funny the second time. But again, in Bible study, I don't know what our bodies will look like in heaven. I don't know if we'll look like this. I don't know if I'll have a six-pack like back in my 20s. But the Bible does tell us he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. When we are in heaven, when Christ has returned and brought all people alive then and all bodies of those who have died fully into heaven, you will not have sin in you. Those who've died before us, their sins are gone. They are with God in heaven. We will look forward to that day that we will be sin-free. And on the day of the resurrection of the dead, you will be there with a glorious body, without sin, fully made whole, shining the radiance of the one who has saved you, Jesus Christ, who lives in you, is with you on this journey. And there will be a day when he calls you forward to heaven. There will be a day when you will shine with the radiance that comes from being God's child without sin. This is a wonderful promise that goes back to really bringing us back fully to being with God, the way it was back in the garden. You see, I told you, Revelation is a very Old Testament-y type book, even though it looks forward. These last few verses of our reading today, in Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You may recall some of the troubles in this life that came from falling into sin, how they're recorded, at least in Genesis chapter 3. Working hard, eating from the sweat of your brow, pain in childbirth, all this suffering and anguish, heat, trouble. Maybe today I'm not going to have to say heat as much as swampiness. All of this pain and suffering of life is fully removed in heaven with God. We will not hunger or thirst anymore. We don't even have to labor for the food. The sun will not strike us, nor any scorching heat. We'll be covered by the radiance of God. And God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. Rather than being kicked out of the garden, not getting to walk physically with God, being there with him, seeing him, we will get to do that again. God will be able to wipe away every tear from your eyes. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. That's right. Hallelujah. Now, our friends and family who've gone before us in the faith, they get this already. Well, that sure helps us to not mourn as those who have no hope. But don't hurry up. God in his time will take you there too. This is the promise and the blessedness that you have now. You live with this knowledge. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. All of us who know that we come to God without any confidence in our own flesh, our own ability, those of us who come knowing that we need Christ alone, when we come poor in spirit, asking God to forgive us, to show us blessing and love, you have the kingdom of heaven. It is yours now. Continue to run that race, and in due time, you'll experience that blessing fully. What a wonderful and glorious thing. And until that day, as those who look forward to being with our all saints before us, we get to share what God has done for us. Parts of us will then live on, not because of any great thing of us, but rather because God would use us to bless others. In fact, today, I'll take a moment to say, you know, it's almost like being on the red carpet when you say, oh, who are you wearing today? Well, I'm wearing two wonderful things that are unique here. I'm going to move this microphone. There we go. I'm wearing a robe gifted to me by a wonderful pastor who served for many years, both here and in England. And so, Pastor Barry, this is for you. I'm wearing his robe, and it's a wonderful gift to have spent time with him, to know all that he did in service to God, and to be able to share in that ministry. I'm also wearing a stole here that just so happens to have a cross with some grapevines next to it. How perfect. That was gifted to me by a pastor I didn't even get to know, a pastor of a friend who had died. And when his wife had said, wait, I don't know what to do with these stoles, the friend said, oh, well, I know a guy who's going to need some soon. And so I received a box of stoles, and I get to wear his. I never got to meet him, but here I have this great and perfect reminder that I have this delightful yoke on me to preach Christ and him crucified. And it has the wheat and the grapes there to remind me that I get to share the blessing of Christ who died for us in his body and his blood. So from a saint I never knew, what a perfect blessing for here to have here at Christ the Vine as I get to be a pastor who didn't have his own stole. So what a nice blessing. Who knows what ways we will continue to bless others. You saints, you sinners who've been made saints in Christ, you are loved. You have a great, glorious life to look forward to in heaven. And until that day, we live out this same life, attempting to share the same blessings we received from Jesus Christ, who loves us, in whose name we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Now receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.